All right, we'll go ahead and continue with Washington State coach Mike Leach. We'll take questions for coach.
To ask coach a question, please press star one. And your first question comes from the line of Lisa Horn, Sporting News.
Hi, Coach. Just a follow-up on this whole satellite Camp Brouhaha. I just wanted your insight on if the Pac-12 were to not ban the, you know, what, in other words, we have the satellite camp. What, in your opinion, what would be, who would benefit most, who would benefit least from that in the Pac-12? And if you had your choice, where would be the ideal location for a satellite camp for the Cougars?
Okay, so let's do one of the nine at a time here. Okay, so question one is, what's your first question?
Who would benefit the most? Who would benefit the least? And where would be your ideal location for the Cougars to have a satellite camp?
Well, first of all, let's be clear. The Pac-12 among their schools, 11 of them have already voted to have satellite camps, and that part's indisputable. Okay, now sadly, we failed to place a vote that reflected the will and wishes of our schools. So this conference is already overwhelmingly in favor of satellite camps, and so just so there's no confusion, and that being the case. As a conference, we're obligated to do everything we can to restore it on behalf of the schools involved. Okay, the schools that would benefit the most, first of all, I think everybody would benefit because, the mission of higher education and Division I schools is to provide opportunities, and the more opportunities, the better it is for everybody. I mean, if you're a low income person, a low income family that is qualified and skilled enough to be a Division I college football player, and you have the opportunity to get discovered, whether through a satellite camp or any means, it does nothing but one, help edify your life, and two, help build the product of college football, which in the end helps everybody. And I can't fathom anybody would be against satellite camps, although I think it's clear that one school is. And the only reason that they could possibly be against satellite camps is for some selfish motivation of locking other schools out of the opportunity to see their players. But, you know, all these schools, every school that's against satellite camps, any school that's against satellite camps, needs to take comfort in the fact that, one, you wouldn't be against them if you weren't already in a pretty good recruiting area, and two, take comfort in the fact that you can only sign 25 of them, and you're still going to be situated in a fashion to get the pick of the litter, providing you have something to offer and your motivations are sincere with regard to helping people develop to be the best players they possibly can.
Thank you.
And the okay.
But that, just out of curiosity, I am wondering, though, is there one particular location that you think would benefit Washington State?
Oh, ours tend to be in Southern California. I mean, the majority of ours are in Southern California, and a reason is because we provide a great opportunity here. Also, we provide a contrast that a lot of the conference doesn't. There's two real true college towns in this conference that aren't in urban settings. That'd be us and Oregon State. And so we provide that opportunity. Plus there's nonstop flights up here. And so not only is it a great opportunity, but, the proximity and the logistics of getting here, are pretty reasonable. But if you're a low income family and can't, get to the four corners of the earth and get all the way up here and pay for flights and whatnot, it only makes sense that in the interest of our sport and in the interest of, our stewardship to student athletes, that we wouldn't do everything we can to to provide that.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep.
And your next question comes from the line of Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
Mike, piggybacking on this topic here, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, obviously, this thing is there's still a lot of liveliness in the debate here. What is your expectation? Do you think this thing is going to get reversed pretty soon?
You know, it's my hope that it gets reversed. I don't know if it's going to get reversed or not. And I think the notion of banning him in the first place was dubious and was very behind the scenes, and there wasn't a lot of clarity to it as far as, you know, there's whole conferences that, as you call their coaches, they weren't even aware that they were going to vote on this. And so, under the best of circumstances, this whole thing's very shifty. Like, one, okay, first of all, we're ambushed with a vote. Okay, two, there's three conferences that vote mysteriously contrary to their best interest. And then four, the Big Ten's carrying the water. And, I mean, let me just ask you, can you fathom 11 schools being in favor of satellite camps and we vote against it? I mean, because I'm about to go to a bunch of meetings there in Phoenix where, you know, I'm going to be stuck there for however many days, and there's going to be a certain amount of dialogue, and the dialogue should lead to a certain amount of consensus where, you know, we agree that we're going to take a position a certain direction. And, you know, if all of a sudden we're going to go opposite of the direction that we take, well, that entire thing's a waste of my time, and I'll just stay up here in Pullman, Washington, America, and have a big time.
Well, you know, there is some great news about the visit to Phoenix as you get to see me, Mike.
Oh, no. Well, that's the second happiest place on earth, you know, with regard to that. But the and, you know, you're a close second, of course, to Mickey Mouse, but and Disneyland. But the I think it should get changed. I think it will get changed because the majority of coaches are against it. But the majority of coaches didn't huddle up and plot and plan to make a run for this thing, of which they successfully got it passed. And the majority's against it, and then I would think anybody with a conscience with regard to low-income student athletes and the opportunities that college football's supposed to provide would be against it anyway. And here's the other thing. I don't know the ones that want to ban satellite camps. It's been going on for over 10 years. I don't know what they're afraid of. I don't know what they're threatened by. And it's not really going to dent their recruiting effort. I mean, if we're going to be a national sport, then, obviously recruiting and recruiting opportunity needs to be on a national scale as well.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of Joey Kaufman, the Orange County Register.
Hey, Mike, looking at the transition that college quarterbacks make from the spread kind of air raid style offense into the NFL, have you found over the years talking to former players of yours, is that a tougher transition to make than quarterbacks coming from maybe more traditional pro style, or is it an overblown thing? What's your kind of experience over the years talking to guys?
I think the entire thing's ridiculously absurd. I think the best opportunity to succeed. I think number one, the best thing is to throw as many balls as possible and read as many defenses as possible. The more leeway you have at the line of scrimmage, the better. There's an awful lot of spread quarterbacks that have played in the NFL and done so successfully. A lot of times for their own convenience, folks will want to, you know, suggest otherwise, but, you know, of course, that's really not true. And I've had a number of them on NFL teams, which is very good. They haven't been a premier starter. I haven't had a guy that was a premier starter, but given the fact there's 30 teams, as far as actually being on teams, I probably have more on teams than most schools. And then, and spread offenses have as well. The other thing, you know, that's interesting is the NFL, from one team to the next, there's a wide variety of how they value the quarterback position, what they value, what they want. And then I think that, you know, the failure for everybody to be on the same page is why that I think there's so much struggle for, in the NFL for them to find quarterbacks. I mean, when you consider that virtually every team in the NFL has drafted a quarterback in the first round, and yet there's so many of them that either weren't drafted or certainly weren't drafted in the first round that are starting, well, that means the entire evaluation process is flawed to a point. And so, but what I think, you know, yeah, I mean, you have the likes of Tom Brady, and if, heck, at the, in the beginning, if they had their way, they probably wouldn't have drafted him at all. And then, of course, you know, is able to carve out just an incredible career, perhaps, you know, definitely one of the best ever in the history of the NFL, just through his own efforts, tenacity, and commitment to the game. And you know, I think the most important thing to keep in mind with regard to quarterbacks is the most important asset they have is elevating the efforts and skills of the people around them. I mean, there's nothing they do that's more important than that. And you know, but I think right now in the NFL, all of, it's the, what they're looking for in a quarterback's all over the map. And so I think a lot of teams have a tough time deciding.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for today, Mike. Hey, appreciate your time, and we'll see you in Phoenix next week.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll see you.